We begin today. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time. We thank you for your word, for the truth it contains. You are both inconvenient and convenient. Lord, truth that can cut right to our very hearts. Just pray, Lord, that your spirit would speak today, and Lord, get me out of the way. Show us what we need, and Lord, just drive it into our hearts. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, we are in the second of a three-part series on the fruit of the Spirit. And last week, Pastor shared love, joy, and peace. And as I look at that, I see those three as foundational for the whole set. And until the Holy Spirit instills those into us and we embrace those and grasp those, the rest are going to be difficult. And, you know, as I thought about this, Pastor assigned these three today to me. And all I could think of this morning was Indiana Jones. All right? I do have the hat, but that's not what I mean. Picture Indiana Jones. He opens the tomb, drops the torch in, and what does he see? Snakes. Thousands of snakes. And he rolls over, and what does he say? Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? Pastor hands me these three. Why did it have to be patience? And kindness and goodness. And I think about the last year, these three were probably the hardest out of all we needed and continue to need to display as Christians. And, you know, I may have rolled my eyes when he told me that I would have to do those three. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no one else would take it. But I think this week and, you know, last weekend wasn't here, drove to North Carolina, had to follow Nan and her mother in their van because we kind of did a couple things at once. Nan is down in Florida with her now, getting her settled in. But I'm following them, and there's like 50 feet between us, you know, for 800 miles. And every exit we come to, someone has to shoot between us, right? Been there? Matt, I know you've been there. And it's like, they saved 3 nanoseconds by doing that. It wouldn't have been much harder, but, you know, that offends me. Because he took a place that was rightfully mine. So I want you to bear that in mind as we begin. And I want to back up how to give us kind of a refresher of what Pastor shared last week, because there's some things I think we need to hit again just real briefly. And but first, let's look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And there's a lot of benefit for us as Christians to allow the Holy Spirit to instill these qualities in our hearts and our lives. And I want us to think, this week it took several times and read through the entire letter here to the Church of Galatia. Doesn't take that long. And what comes up to me here is the fact that they had a skewed vision of freedom. And Paul wanted to correct that. Judaizers were getting into the church, and they were going backwards in their freedom. They were thinking that, you know, I'm better off just trying to do what I can and follow this and follow this and make my own list of how to please God. When all he wanted was their hearts and obedience. And so, with that, last week we looked and shared in the text, there were two lists as we look at Galatians 5. The first one is the negative one. And
Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. You know, this is the list that I think a lot of people find easy to attain and live by. And it doesn't satisfy. It does nothing for us. It just drives us further from God. And Paul shared that so we could balance it with what we really see in the fruit of the Spirit, being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But Pastor shared last week in verse 16 and 18 what is really foundational. And we need to think and we need to realize and embrace these two verses, because these two talk about both action and will in our lives. In the first, we look at Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So by that, we talk action. We don't have to just know the list of the fruit of the spirits. We need to walk in them. We need to embrace them and put them into action. And we can only do that if we really listen to what's in verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And, you know, I think of being led by the Spirit, I think surrender. I think doing it His way and not necessarily my way. And really embracing the Holy Spirit's indwelling, so that the maturing of this fruit can happen in our lives. And with that, we're going to press on. We're going to dive right into patience. You're probably impatient waiting for this. So let's look at patience. What is patience? And I found a definition. It's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. And I found that definition, and I looked it up in the original, and it's not strong enough. It's not even close. What I found was a compound Greek word that I'm not even going to pronounce, okay? But it talks about adding length to your wrath and your anger. You put off the explosion. All right? Been there? When I find myself getting impatient, the first temptation is to... That wasn't me. I think, you know, say count to 10, right? Sometimes we need to count to a million. You're going to be angry. You know, that's why I didn't really like that other definition, without getting angry. We're going to be angry. Sometimes it's righteous, sometimes it's not. But it's controllable by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want us to think that we just need to embrace that peace that God gives us. And the love for the others who may be causing the anger that's bringing the issue. And, you know, the verses that I brought up, I want us to turn briefly to Ephesians 4 as we look at patience. And Paul is dealing with the church in Ephesus, kind of with similar thoughts. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I really like how how Paul describes it here. You know, when these things arrive, meet them with humility and gentleness. It'll help. And Paul says to meet them with patience, bearing with one another in love. And the bearing with, I just love this one. I looked that one up too. It's putting up with each other. You know, there are going to be people that are going to turn your crank, right? This week. Patience is one of these things. You know, there are several dangerous prayers in our faith. One of them is praying for patience because it will come at the test. And this week, preparing for this message was no different. And thinking about how we act and respond, patience is a response to a situation, to a person, to everything that the world is throwing at you. It can have to do with your health issues. It can have to do with school, work, your husband or wife. Definitely your kids. But the Holy Spirit wants to help you with that. You know, and I think of what patience isn't. And, you know, we think before earlier, you know, we put up that list of all the negatives that Paul put into chapter 5 there. And in that other list, patience is going to help you with an enmity, strife, jealousy, and fits of anger. If you allow the Holy Spirit to do that in our lives, those things should be diminishing, okay? As we embrace the Holy Spirit and the fruit of His Spirit in our lives, that other list should be shrinking. Okay, not only are we putting on and embracing what the Spirit wants us to do, the former worldly way should be diminishing. You know, and a good way to show it is, I got to get away from me first. A lot of times when I find myself, and I'm sure you would say the same thing, when you find yourself impatient, you're putting yourself at the top. That guy that cut me off in traffic, that was my spot. But basically, when we put on the Holy Spirit in this, it's selflessness, all right? It's being like Jesus, plain and simple. Pushing our agenda, bullying people, trying to get our way, need to back off. They need to diminish. They need to disappear. And, you know, a way that helps me in this is, just like Paul, and we look at the times when he makes the list of all the times he was beaten, shipwrecked, taken outside the city, stoned, left for dead. He also says, I've learned true contentment. And for us, what helps me is 5 or 10 minute vacation to get off feeling rushed. You know, the world sometimes seems like it's going 1,000 miles an hour and you think you're on a hamster wheel. When you're on the hamster wheel, patience is hard. There's no end. Sometimes we just need to get off the wheel for a few minutes and regroup, reconnect with God. You know, and another way that I find helpful is, you know, really understanding the peace of God. And that love, joy, peace. Living and embracing that and also valuing others. The next of these three attributes we're going to look at is kindness. And as we look at kindness, it's the quality of being friendly and generous and considerate. For me as a little kid growing up, when my mom wanted to correct us kids, she did it in King James. All right? And I could still hear as I was reading this, it's like, yeah, I'm not sure my mom's listening from heaven, but I can still hear, be ye kind. Okay? Those three words that just kind of slow little kids down who are not sharing well, or hopefully we slow them down. But that's a lesson I've remembered over 50 years ago. Kindness. The connotation in the original is action. You do it on purpose. It's not just a thought, but it's a response to other people and other people that need to see it in us by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's even random. Just being kind to someone we don't even know. What a witness. And as I was looking, one of the better texts I found to explain this was Zechariah 7 and verses 8 through 10. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments. Show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." I thought that pretty well handled it. And it gave us a list of people to be kind to. Most all of them are strangers. How much more to the people we know? And I really liked how it was coupled with mercy, kindness and mercy. And as we compare that again to the early part of chapter 5 in Galatians, that helps us with rivalries, dissensions, and divisions. When we choose to be kind, when we choose not to build a wall, when we choose to instead build a bridge, you know, and I can think of the happenings of the last year, and they're still happening on the internet and on Facebook. We have an entire nation of people almost divided evenly down the middle who believe they are 100% right and that the other is 100% wrong. When in fact, it's probably, we're all 50% wrong. The other one is 50% right. We have a lot more in common than we have different. And it's the same with our relationships here with each other. We're different, but we all have needs. We all need to be shown love. We all need to be shown patience. I know people need to put up with me. But people need to see our kindness. What helps me is I see those things, I just start typing and hit the backspace. Just hold your finger there and just get rid of it, and it's done. Okay? But as this is written, forget politics. It's people. It's your neighbor. It's your family. It's us as a church body. Be kind. Just do it. And I want us to also think what Pastor shared last week is in here. And what he shared, we can't do it. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. Some days we just need to get off our high horse
and admit we desperately need God and His Spirit to fill our hearts with these things. You know, Lord, make me patient. Lord, make me kind. Is treating other people with respect and goodwill and just plain love? And treating them with mercy. You know, I hate to say it, but sometimes we pass in our minds a judgment and put something on someone else. Stop it! That person needs mercy just as much as you. Okay? And we might think someone deserves what happens to them. But mercy says no. Right? No. Someone did something to me in fifth grade and I'm carrying a grudge. That's not happening to me. I forgot. I can't even remember fifth grade. Except the teacher. Okay, maybe there's a little grudge. But mercy is not given what you think they deserve. Offer grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. You don't think they deserve good? Give them good. Grace says give them good. God gave me good. God has given you good. Embrace it. Let the Holy Spirit increase that in your heart and in your life. The last of the three today is goodness. And it's like, how do you describe and define goodness? It's like the quality of being morally good or virtuous. It's like, it's just be good, okay? Goodness is the display of the change in your life. Goodness is getting rid of that entire first list that we see that Paul wrote above the fruit of the Spirit, that big long list, scratch it. Turn away from it, erase it in your life, or better yet, allow the Holy Spirit to erase it in your life. And the good is what's left. Display what's good. And, you know, to describe this, all I could think of was the entire fifth chapter of Ephesians, but I pared it down a lot, but I want to take some time. I want to read it, but I've got three little excerpts I want you to think about and focus on. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children. For the fruit of the light, maybe that is me, it's stuck in my beard. This is great. Thank you. So, okay, the first time when I denied it, that was a lie. Okay? That's better. You might have to turn me up now that I moved it way out. But walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And I took that and I chewed it down to these things. Be imitators of God. God is good. Be like God. we're made in his image. The capacity, if we allow him by his Spirit to be good in our hearts, can be shown. Walk as children of the light. That's who you are in Christ. Created that way on purpose so other people can see it. The last one is take no part in the works of darkness. There are two parts there in those last two. It's embrace and walk as children of the light and run from the evil. Both those things we need to do. Both those things we need the Holy Spirit's power to accomplish. And it's only through them that we can do it. You know, goodness is the outflow of that fruit in our lives. We're changed. We're changed. Be like God. And as we embrace the Holy Spirit and he changes us, deep down we know what's right and good. We may kick against it on occasion, but it should be less and less and less. That right that you feel in your heart, and he'll whisper it to you. That good that the Holy Spirit whispers to you, you know it. Do it. Don't just know it, do it. We live in a world where people really look us over. There is a right way to do goodness. There's a wrong way to do goodness. Our goodness shouldn't be a list of the things that make us better than someone else. It should never be pious. It should never be pompous. When other people see the good that we display, they should see it as our response to the God who desperately loves us. And we're tempting to do what he sees fit in obedience. Not because he wants to make our life harder to live, because he wants to make our life better to live. Embrace it. It's to be evident in our lives. Living a life of good, it's being winsome. You know, it's not being pious and arrogant, it's being winsome. You can either be a fern or you can be a cactus, all right? Let's play botany. You can be a nice soft fern. You know, put a fern on your desk and you're going to live in tranquility, right? Yeah, the fern. Or you could be like, Lydia and her cactuses. That wasn't against Lydia. It's just her choice of plants for the desk is cactus. She got some really nice cactuses. I like cactuses too. I'd rather have one of them than a fern too. But it's just a thought, you know. Think of, do people see you as soft or see you as prickly? When we live goodness, people are going to honestly react to you in one of two ways. They're going to find you standoffish and they want anything to do with you, or they'll be attracted to you if you're winsome, okay? Be that person that people want to be around. Be that person that cares about the individual. Live that kindness and they'll see your goodness, okay? The two of those are connected. And, you know, as we begin to draw this to a close today, I want us to think about, so what now? In response to this, what do we do? And I want us to think about really three different things. Is why does God in His Spirit want to fill us with these attributes? The first is for our benefit. It's for my benefit. So when I'm living these nine things, okay, the last three pastor will share next week. When I live those nine things, life is a lot better. It's not as harried. It may still be fast. There will still be problems, I'm sure. But it's not that big a deal a lot of times. Because if we live that way, we feel a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We feel His presence. We feel His influence. So it's for our benefit. The second one, it's for God's glory. Because when we surrender to Him and obey, we can feel His pleasure. And there's nothing that pleases a good father more than knowing his children live in obedience. We live it with our kids. We glorify God in our actions. The third, it's for the benefit of those who have yet to believe. And I want us to really think that in this, we become salt and light. Up in verse 13 in Galatians 5, Paul talks about this freedom, the proper freedom, is so we can serve one another. Not freedom from having to serve each other. It's a proper freedom so we can serve each other and love on each other. And what I want to close with, my absolute closing thought, is I've been pondering, why is it called the fruit of the Spirit? And some of us guys on Thursday night discussed this, and more, you know, why isn't it called the list of things that the Holy Spirit makes you have to do in order to be good? Or, you know, referred to as list of the attributes of God He wants you to live. Why is it called fruit? And the botanist in me who, you know, forget the fern and the cactus. I'm thinking apple, okay? Outside my office is an apple tree, and there's still apples on it, and there have been 11 different bucks coming to it. I got pictures. But I watch those apples grow, okay? There's a time to eat apples. There's a time not to eat apples, all right? How do you decide? Yeah. Because they're not mature yet. When that apple matures, not only does it become tasty, okay? I'm in. I like apples, especially in a pie, all right? But until that apple matures, those seeds are not viable. You pull that green apple off that tree and throw it, those seeds are not yet ready. I firmly believe that we become the fruit that needs to mature in order that we can bear the seed of the kingdom. And as we embrace what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, that seed comes to full maturity. And those nine things on that list become who we are. To a lost and a dying world. And think about that. And think about that next week as Pastor draws it to a close. And we think about the rest of those. The Spirit of God wants to mature those in your heart. He doesn't want us just to be able to be, you know, I remember being 8 and memorizing that verse. I could recite them, but I always got the order mixed up. I'd eventually get them. But it's not about the knowing the list. It's about being the list. Not so much doing, it's in being. Because the Holy Spirit makes it who you are. Because there are people out there that need to see their love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think I got the order right. Okay, I think so, okay. The world needs to see that because it's not there. Apart from God, it's not there. And he allows us to be that seed. The seed to reproduce the church. Seeds that we can plant and water. Let me rephrase that. Seeds through us that he plants. Okay, now you get it. That he waters. That he fertilizes, that he wants to mature. The Holy Spirit allows us these attributes that are God's alone, and ours by gift. A gift that we can share in grace and love, mercy to those around us. Amen? Father, we do thank you for who you are and for, Lord, how you minister to us. And Lord, I honestly am not sure I communicated this well, but Lord, I just pray your Spirit would finish the job. Lord, help us to be more patient and to live in response to those around us with kindness and goodness. Lord, we need the rest of your attributes, but Lord, as we focus on these three, teach us to be patient. Go easy on us. Lord, help us to learn it and help us to learn it well. Help us to be kind to those around us. Help us to offer words of love and hope, not words that tear down, but, Lord, words that build up. Help us to display all your goodness in a way that people see a better way to live, one that's triumphant in obedience to you and your ultimate plan and design that was originally perfect. Lord, help us to do it as well as we can, and Lord, point to you as the only one who's perfect. Help us to be winsome, Lord, and display this fruit in a way, Lord, that would mature in our hearts, that you would mature the seed within us, that you want to plant to the next generation of believers. We ask it, Lord, all in Christ's name.